This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith about Planned Parenthood with Carla Peterson, who's the president and CEO of the Planned Parenthood Association of East Central Illinois. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you, Steve.
Now, how big is East Central Illinois?
Our affiliate covers 36 counties, although we don't have health centers in all of those counties. We have health centers in six of those counties, from as far north as Ottawa to as far south as Effingham.
Okay, quite a big part of this of the state. And what services do you provide? What services does Planned Parenthood provide in those 36 counties, even if there's not a health center there?
Well, the counties where we don't have health centers, we primarily do as much education as we can, which is not really possible by sending people out. But we have a website, and we try and reach people in other kinds of ways. And, of course, our public affairs issues, we try and reach into some of our other territories. But in our health centers, we provide the core service is family planning, family planning medical services. And there are other services in conjunction with that. We have mail services that we've relatively recently added.
M-A-L-E.
M-A-L-E, yes. We have the reproductive care after reproductive years, midlife services, we call that. We treat for sexually transmitted infections. We do HIV testing. We do prenatal care here in Champaign-Urbana, but that's the only site right now. And then we have surgical services also. Colposcopy is a follow-up service to bad paps, and that's another service that we provide.
Now, when you say you provide education, you mentioned a website. What is the address for that?
It's ppeci.org.
P-P-E-C-I. E-C-I.
That's .org.
For Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois, ppeci.org. So
correct.
If people in those counties want to learn about some of the specifics of these services, they can go to that website. Okay, great. Well, let's talk about just family planning in general. How long has Planned Parenthood been involved in this? Nationally? Did it start in this country?
Yes. The national organization has been in place for about 87 years, so it's a very, very old organization. In fact, the oldest organization in the United States that has been working on preventing unintended pregnancies. Here in this county, we're about 63 years old. And we are, I'm not sure about Chicago, but of the downstate affiliates, we're the oldest of the downstate affiliates.
All right. And how long have you been with the organization?
Here, I've been here since 1995, starting as director of education and training. Prior to that, I was in Decatur with the Decatur affiliate. And all in all, I've been with Planned Parenthood about 28 years.
Ah, okay. All in Illinois or elsewhere?
All in Illinois.
And why did it interest you?
It just makes sense to me. You know, it just makes sense that when you have children that are wanted and loved and nurtured and cared for, it makes a whole bunch of difference in all kinds of ways. And so I just believe very strongly that children need to be wanted and loved and nurtured, and Planned Parenthood just makes sense.
In terms of the services that are provided, you mentioned the clinics. There are six different counties that have Planned Parenthood clinics under your jurisdiction. What happens there?
Well, if you think in terms of an OBGYN's office, pretty much the same thing. Women and men come in for exams, and we do, you know, the pelvic pap, breast exam, that kind of thing. The probably the main difference is that we have contraceptives available on site, so we don't write prescriptions for them to go to a pharmacy. One of the reasons that we're able to provide that service is that we have part of our funding coming through the federal government through what's called Title X family planning monies. and that allows us to serve low-income women and families with subsidy from the federal government.
And what kind of birth control contraceptives are you able to provide?
We have all of them, everything that's available.
Mm-hmm. And what do you recommend these days?
Well, we don't ever recommend anything. We leave that up to the person to decide. We talk about all the options that are open to them. And, of course, in this day, it's considerably enhanced from when I started in the the field. Birth control pills, of course, have been around for a long time, but Depo-Provera, which is the shot, maybe known as the shot, we have now a vaginal ring. We have, we've had the Norplant was an implant. That one is no longer on the market, but there's another one that we're expecting in the not too distant future. IUDs. I'm sure I'm forgetting some.
And what do people tend to choose the most these days? A woman comes in, she qualifies for the government-supported free contraception, and you give them the alternatives. What do most people choose these days?
The pill is still very popular, but Depo-Provera is also very, very popular because you only have to get that every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something that I need to correct just a little bit.
All right, please do.
And that was the fact that that they're free.
Ah.
They're on a sliding scale.
Oh, okay.
It's the subsidy depends on income and number of dependents. So it sort of depends on where they fall in the according to poverty guidelines and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the ones you mentioned, the contraception devices you mentioned, methods, were for women, but you also provide them for males?
Yes, the males, unfortunately, we only have one still, and that's the condom.
Mm-hmm.
We do refer for vasectomies and for tubal ligations or female sterilization, which could be some other type besides tubal ligation. But unfortunately, there aren't any other methods right now available to men. They continue to do research, but so far we haven't had anything.
And in terms of how much demand there are for these, for this kind of contraception help, could you give us some sense of it? People, numbers?
We have about 13,000 clients that we serve annually.
And, like, when you give out condoms or when you sell the condoms at reduced prices, how many would there be sold through Planned Parenthood or given away?
You know, I recently heard that number, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands. Maybe it's in here somewhere in this report. The other thing I might mention is that we receive free condoms through the state health department, basically.
Okay.
And they are given out in great quantities to anyone who wants them, really.
I see.
I mean, they're available at the clinic, and sometimes people call and want, you know, a whole case or whatever, and we can do that, too.
Let me reintroduce our guest today on Keeping the Faith. We're talking with the CEO and president of the Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois, Carla Peterson, about the services provided in the 36 counties here in East Central Illinois by Planned Parenthood. This is a live call-in program, and we're happy to have listeners give us a call with a comment or question. Anywhere the program is heard, you may call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several lines you can reach by punching in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL for people in the Champaign-Urbana calling area. Carla, we're talking about the services provided by Planned Parenthood. You're located, your central office is here in Champaign-Urbana, where there's the large University of Illinois. Students can get help with advice about Planned Parenthood or about family planning from the health center on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But do some come to Planned Parenthood as well?
Some
and if
do.
So, why?
We're not sure why.
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes it has to do with anonymity, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
They might run into somebody at McKinley that they may not wish to, or for whatever reason, maybe they started receiving services at Planned Parenthood in their hometown,
Chicago, someplace,
uh-huh. and decided it was easy to transfer the records or something like that. And by the way, I just found the answer to your question about condoms. It's $185,000.
In a year.
In a year,
okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of students who do come to you, you talk about anonymity or anybody else who comes to you. Mm-hmm. How do you guarantee that, or how do you protect their privacy?
We are very, very careful with our patient records, our names of patients. Mm-hmm. We don't call people by both names from mm-hmm. the waiting room. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if two people are in the waiting room who happen to know each other, we don't have much control
sure.
over that. But it's one of our very basic rules mm-hmm. Is to maintain confidentiality.
Now, sadly, there have been things like violence against Planned Parenthood groups elsewhere. How do you talk to your staff about those kinds of things and the possibility of break-ins or who knows what?
Well, unfortunately, we have to spend some of our time training staff to be alert to all of those kinds of dangers. Mm-hmm. We do training annually or biannually, depending on what the subject is, on all of those kinds of subjects. We are always alert to unusual things happening or phone calls that come in that are suspicious mm-hmm. or, you know, that kind of thing. So we do spend a lot. And then, of course, our building is very secure.
Hmm. And yet it's a public building. And
yes.
in order for people to make use of it, they have to know where it is.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us where your address is?
It's at 302 East Stoughton. I'm never quite sure whether that's Stoughton or Stoughton, not having
right.
grown up in Champaign. Do you know the answer to that?
I don't. I've heard it both ways.
And
that's in Champaign.
In Champaign, and it's basically the corner of 3rd and Stoughton.
3rd and Stoughton.
Mm-hmm. Right behind the old Burnham Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have clinics in which other counties?
Ottawa is the furthest north.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Clinton and Bloomington. Lincoln is associated with the health department over there. And Champaign-Urbana, of course, and Effingham is our furthest south. And I mentioned to you before the show started that we also have a multicultural health center, which is located over at Orchard Downs.
At
the U of I campus.
Where many international students live.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The issue there is that many of our the students who come from foreign countries are covered by insurance through the university, but very often their families are not.
So the student could go to McKinley Health Center for family planning services, but their spouses
exactly.
Wouldn't
right.
be covered. We have a caller on line one. Let's go to one of our local lines. Line one, you're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the research that's been done for alternatives for male family planning other than the condom, and I will listen off the air. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
The one that's probably the oldest that I've heard of is something called Glossopol, which I believe was initiated or studied and possibly in use now in China. There are some other attempts at reducing or eliminating sperm for a short period of time through things like temporary blockage of the vas deferens, for example, or somehow affecting the hormone levels that that result in the release of the sperm. Those are the kinds of things that are being studied. There may be some others. Those are the ones that I'm remembering off the top of my head.
And, of course, vasectomies are still one option,
but that's
not usually
permanent.
Reversible.
Right, right, yeah. They are reversible sometimes.
Sometimes.
But it depends on
can't
how
count
it's,
on it.
How
it right.
right, exactly.
Right. In terms of your work with Planned Parenthood, a CEO has to do a lot of things. How big of a staff do you oversee?
We right now have about 50. Not all of those are full-time, and many of those are part-time, for example, nurse practitioners and physician's assistants. Mm-hmm. We have a medical director that is also not full-time. She works with us and also works with some other agencies in town. Okay. Dr. Ann Robbins, many people know Ann.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the staff, how is it organized, sort of? Do you have... tell me what some of the people's jobs are.
in the health center, there are the health center manager, who's responsible for just being sure that everything gets done and, mm-hmm. you know, clinics are scheduled and people are staffing clinics and so forth. We also have, as I mentioned, the nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and Dr. Ann Robin, who are the ones who actually see the patients for the exams and mm-hmm. prescribing and so forth. We also have LPNs on staff. We have CNAs on staff.
I don't know what CNAs are.
Certified Nurse Associate.
Okay.
And so those are the kinds of personnel that would be involved in the health center. In the administrative offices, which is also at this site, we have a receptionist. We have several directors who are responsible, one of whom is director of client services. That's Robin Beach. We have community affairs director is Kathy Spiegel. The director of fund development is Joe Thompson. And our finance and administration director is Darlene. Darlene. Sorry, Darlene, if you're listening. My mind just went blank.
The pressure of the open mic, yes.
Yes.
Let me
Baker, that would be.
All right.
Sorry.
Let me ask about the funding. Now, you've got all these people. You're covering 36 counties in terms of providing information, 6 clinics. Where does the money come from for Planned Parenthood?
A variety of places. Our clients pay for services,
okay.
whether it's a full fee. I mean, mm-hmm. we do have many full fee patients.
Okay.
And those would be probably not quite as high as the private providers, but not too far under, maybe 10% under.
Mm-hmm.
So there are full fee patients. We also have the folks that are subsidized through Title X. And there are 5 different fee levels for those clients.
That's the sliding scale
you mentioned
earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have Medicaid clients, so we take Medicaid as a third-party reimbursement. We also take insurance, so we have third-party reimbursement through insurance. And I mentioned the Title X, which is a federal grant. There are also some state grant monies that come into the organization. Some of which supply or help pay for educational services. And then, of course, we have many, many fine contributors who donate large amounts of money to us to help.
And people do that individually, directly to Planned Parenthood, or through other groups like United Way?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what do those people can designate where that money goes for certain types of services?
They can designate that through... through United Way or some of the other federated agency funding.
All right. And in terms of budget, what's the annual budget roughly for your agency?
Our budget is about $2.7 million.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how many other areas, I guess, in the state of Illinois are there for Planned Parenthood?
There's an affiliate in Chicago,
uh-huh.
and that primarily covers Cook County with some of the surrounding counties as well.
Okay.
There is an affiliate in Peoria, headquartered in Peoria. There's one in Springfield, one in Decatur, and then East Central Illinois. Now, there's an Iowa affiliate that provides service in the Quad Cities, for example.
Ah, okay.
And the St. Louis affiliate provides some services in the
around
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Since this is the program that deals with religion and ethics and spirituality and values, what are the values of Planned Parenthood?
Are you interested in the beliefs?
Sure. What are your and do they vary from group to group, or is there a national standard?
There are beliefs that have been developed by the national organization, and I don't know that I really have time or you're inclined to have me read all of these things, but
give us some highlights.
I'll give you a couple of them. The right to sexual and reproductive self-determination that is non-coercive, non-exploitative, and responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Free and joyous expression of sexuality. Trusting individuals and providing them with information they need to make well-informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Women have an equal place at life's table. And the children flourish best in families and communities where they're nurtured, loved, and honored.
Mm-hmm.
Passion for change, justice, easing the plight of others, so forth and so on. In action to help improve people's lives and circumstances. Inclusion and diversity is a very big part of what we're about. In fact, the mission of the national organization was recently changed to incorporate diversity.
Mm.
We have a global goal. We have international Planned Parenthood, and we're interested in a sustainable world and living in peace with our planet.
Okay. Well, let's look at some of that a little bit. In terms of maybe the basic thing that people might think about, is it needed today? Why is Planned Parenthood required? Since don't most people know about contraception if they want to use it, and isn't it available relatively cheaply? And why does this organization need to continue?
An amazing number of people don't have access to the care that they need for reproductive and sexual health. Certainly, that's true in many rural areas in the United States, as well as many, many foreign countries. Developing countries are in tremendous need for family planning.
Mm.
And because a part of our mission is to serve those who are underserved, mm-hmm. or unserved, and are at risk because they really don't have access to those kinds of services that we offer, we feel that it's very important that we're there to provide the very best care that we can.
So there still is not only some ignorance, but there's also just those barriers of cost and availability for many people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does Planned Parenthood still get young women who walk in who are just completely unaware of the fact that contraception is possible?
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, the misconceptions that we still hear about from our teenagers, we have a peer education program, and of course they're the ones who have the ears of their peers, mm-hmm. and I'm still amazed at some of the misconceptions that young people have as to sexuality and sexual health and so forth.
Well, probably no listeners to WILL would have these misconceptions, but why don't you give us a few examples just in case? like certainly, I mean, if the male just withdraws mm-hmm. before reaching ejaculation or orgasm, mm-hmm. I mean, the woman's not going to get pregnant, is she?
Well, that's not quite true. But that still is a misconception.
Mm-hmm.
We still hear things like, if you have sex standing up, you mm-hmm. won't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
If you won't get pregnant the first time. We mm-hmm. still hear things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think young women and men have very, very limited knowledge about their reproductive systems. We spend very little time in our educational system and probably in our homes talking about that because it's not one of the easiest subjects to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, our experience with our own parents has not been that it was an open area of discussion. So what that results in is that people, or young people in particular, have pick up on bits and pieces of information or believe that what they see on television or believe that what they see in the movies or
right.
what they're reading in magazines is true and everyday, kind of behavior and so forth and so on.
If listeners would like to make a comment or ask a question to our guest on Keeping the Faith this afternoon, please call us 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL is a toll-free line that you can use anywhere the program is heard, including on the Internet. In Champaign-Urbana, you may call us at 333-9455. That's 333-WILL to reach our local lines. We're talking with Carla Peterson, who's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois. Carla, when you talked about the peer program, how do you find and train the young people who then become the peer educators?
Mm-hmm. We have two peer education programs. TAG is what they're called. Teen Awareness Group is what that stands for. Mm-hmm. And we have one group in Bloomington Normal that's been operating for over 10 years. The Champaign-Urbana group is somewhat newer. We're in our second pretty solid year of operation here. We advertise in newspapers. We put flyers up at schools. We ask current peer educators if they have friends that would be interested.
And what age are you talking about?
Basically sophomores through seniors
in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And yet some young people are sexually active in junior high and even late grade school these days.
Yes. What we've found is that for this kind of a program, the somewhat more mature teens are a little bit better at disseminating the information.
Even communicating with the younger kids.
Right. Okay. And we often, they often are in contact with the younger kids, and mm-hmm. we hope that that's, one of the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
We are very careful to involve parents in that program. We have parent open houses, and parents are aware that their young people are involved. We're trying to get more involved, better parental involvement or more parental involvement in that program, and we're actually starting to do some research on outcomes with the University of Illinois to look at the impact that the program has on parent-child communication and knowledge base and behaviors and attitudes and that kind of thing.
Now, since we're talking about teens, at what age may a young woman come to Planned Parenthood and get advice, counseling?
There really is no minimum age.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes hear people say, well, does that mean that somebody that's 9 can come and, get services? Well, in theory, yes, but the chances of a young person at that age having the capability of coming for services, number one, would mm-hmm. be pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone, say, even at the age of 11, 12, 13, came to us for services without any adult with them, we would want to be very careful about what the we would want to know what the circumstance was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're going to report to anybody, because we're not, but we would strongly encourage some kind of adult involvement. Actually, for all of our teens, we encourage that. We encourage our clients who are teens to communicate with their parents.
You encourage it, but if a teen would refuse, you'll still talk with them? Will you still also provide them with contraceptive
absolutely.
Methods?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. But, it's quite possible that a teen is in a relationship that is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they have a partner who's 5 or 6 or 7 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And for a young teen, that puts them at particular risk for not only unintended pregnancy or sexually transmitted infections, but also for abuse, coercion, all kinds of things. So
mm-hmm.
We're conscious of the, the sort of older partner issues mm-hmm. when it comes to particularly to young teens. But we actually talk to all of our teens about communicating with adults.
And what would be one of your counselors' responses to someone who would say, well, why not just teach and preach abstinence as a method of family planning?
Abstinence, we do teach abstinence, actually. It's one of our basis for our educational programming when we talk about contraception. We, however, don't believe that everyone is abstinent, and nor will everyone be abstinent by simply preaching that to them. So we feel that it's very, very important for young people and people of any age to have the information that they need to make responsible decisions about their reproduction and their sexual health.
Mm-hmm. Can a 13-year-old make responsible decisions?
I think with guidance and with having people available to listen and hear them and help them understand the issues relative to reproduction and sexuality, I think, yeah.
So it's better to have information since you're going to be deciding something anyway.
Right, yeah? Right.
Let me take just a moment to a break. We're about halfway through our program with Carla Peterson from the Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois here on Keeping the Faith. You're listening to AM 580 WILL. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program. In my weekday life, I'm director of the University YMCA, which is provides some of the support for these Keeping the Faith programs that are each week from 5 to 6 on WILL. The University YMCA is the oldest religious institution at the university. Since 1873, the Y has been helping develop student leaders by providing different opportunities for community service, volunteering, social action. We have programs for students and that are involved in tutoring in the schools, being teachers' aides in the schools, locally traveling around for alternative spring break programs three different times during the school year when school isn't in session. Students are involved with the environment, and one of our programs that's starting up again just this week is called Communiversity. It's been going on for 25 or 30 years, and three times a year we have a series of classes that are available for people in the community as well as students at the University of Illinois, as well as faculty and staff, in fact. These are a number of classes on a lot of different areas that are available by paying a nominal fee that goes to the person who teaches the course and to the Y. We have classes in dance, for example. Aurora Villacorte is our teacher of ballroom dance, has been teaching at the Y for several decades. Some of you have seen a sculpture in her honor called Tango in one of the Urbana parks. She teaches beginning ballroom dance, beginning swing, intermediate ballroom dance, tango, samba, mamba, moringa, salsa. If you'd be interested in one of those classes, do check out one of the catalogs that are available throughout the community at the Y, or you can check online at our website, universityymca.org, and then check under Communiversity. Classes on exercise, massage, Tai Bo, Aikido, Taekwondo, language and culture, art and music, photography, classes on seminar for singles, a woman's sharing circle, homeopathy, a class on an introduction to the major world religions that I'm teaching starts this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Y. Incidentally, you can register for these classes by just coming to the first class and registering then, or you can call 337-1500 for more information as well. Again, classes on spring wildflowers, racquetball, golf, beauty, the green alternative, starting your own small business. So those are classes, Communiversity at the University Y, starting up this week. Please give us a call or check out our website. Also starting this week is Friday Forum for this semester. This is a noon lecture series. I think it may be in its 78th year. Our first speaker will be Ben Scott from the Institute of Communications at the University talking about direct democracy on the Internet, putting the public back into politics. That's this Friday, February 6th at noon at the Y. You can call and make a reservation or simply show up. You can buy a lunch when you get there if you like, or bring a lunch, or just listen to the lecture. They are free. You'll be out by 1 o'clock unless you want to stay for some more questions and answers. Tuesday, KYU starts the Know Your University series, and Bill Adams will be our first speaker talking about dealing with the reduced budget at the university. Bill Adams is Associate Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and directly in charge of the budget as it affects the the classroom. So that's this Tuesday, February 3rd, at the Y at noon. Again, it's free, open to the public. You can get a lunch at our Y Eatery. Good Thai food, if you like, food from Thailand, is available. University Y is a nonprofit organization that receives no money directly from the university budget. We receive no money from taxes. So we're a private charity, as all YMCAs are. And one of the ways we get support is by people who donate us automobiles. And if you have a car that you'd rather not trade in and deal with that hassle, or sell yourself, if you itemize your taxes, you may donate that car to the Y and take a tax deduction. And we then sell that car ourselves, and it may well go to a graduate student family who will very much appreciate a good used car. We'll also take used trucks, pickup trucks. If you're interested, give me a call. I'm Steve Shoemaker, 337-1500 at the University Y on the corner of Wright and Chalmers. Getting back to our guest here on Keeping the Faith, we're talking with Carla Peterson about Planned Parenthood, which covers 36 counties here in East Central Illinois. She's the CEO and president. Let's talk a little bit about what the services are for males. People often think about Planned Parenthood and think it's only for females. Why would males come to Planned Parenthood?
Well, males, of course, are half of the equation when it comes to reproduction and sexuality. And we think that it's really important to provide the services to males as well as females. We, you know, because there aren't as many contraceptive methods available to men, obviously we don't have those kinds of options to offer them, but we can do reproductive testicular exams, for example. We can test for sexually transmitted infections. Mm-hmm. We test for HIV and AIDS. And, of course, we refer for vasectomies. We don't actually do that.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller waiting on line one. I want to get to that call, but before I do, let me just repeat for people who want more information about Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois. They do have a website, which is ppeci.org for Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois. They're located in Champaign-Urbana at 302 East Stoughton. That's the corner of 3rd and Stoughton in Champaign. And their local phone number that people could call, Carla, what is that?
359-468. You know, isn't that funny? 8022 is the clinic.
Ah, here it is. 359-8022 is the clinic. Okay. And let's go to our caller on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Carla Peterson.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Carla, I noticed in the yellow pages that Planned Parenthood is listed as an abortion provider.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you'd be willing to talk about that. And also, I'm wondering if Planned Parenthood ever recommends adoption as an option for unplanned pregnancies.
Yes. Thank you. That's a good question. We do provide first trimester abortions at our Champaign-Urbana site, and that's up through 14 weeks of pregnancy. We also do refer for and talk about adoption as one of the options available. We have been trying to figure out if there's a way to incorporate additional information about adoption. For example, in the Chicago affiliate, they have someone coming from an adoption agency that comes into the affiliate once a week or so. I'm not sure what the details are, to talk with women who are interested in placing a child for adoption. But does that answer the question sufficiently?
I think so. In terms of having, you do provide abortions for those who make that choice.
Yes.
Is there an age limit by which you're able to provide that service?
Again, not really in the state of Illinois. We, of course, as I mentioned before, relative to family planning, we always encourage young people to talk with their parents or with a significant adult if they feel that they can't talk with their parents. The administrative number I'm seeing is 359-4768. Isn't that run? I give that number out all the time. Must be the old age coming in here. The other thing about the abortion services is that we have both surgical and medical abortion. Medical abortion is relatively new to the United States, and we do have that offered as well.
And what does that mean?
Medical abortion means that the individual comes into the affiliate and is, of course, has an ultrasound to determine fetal age and so forth, and then is given medication, which they take while they're at the clinic. Then within 48 hours after that, they use additional medication, and the abortion then happens at home. So it's not exactly like having a miscarriage, but similar to that. Whereas a surgical is something that you do.
DNC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of abortion, of course, there are many religious groups that have different opinions about that.
Mm-hmm.
How does Planned Parenthood deal with the whole issue of religion and sexuality in general?
Well, religious organizations have all kinds of views relative to reproduction, relative to abortion, relative to sexuality, and we believe that that's up to the individual and their families, their gods, their ministers, whatever people in their lives they are involved with in terms of their religious views. We don't believe that we, as an organization, have any right to tell people that one belief is better than another belief, or that there's a right or a wrong belief.
Are there some churches that provide sex education?
Absolutely. There's a very well-known curriculum called the OWL curriculum. It stands for Our Whole Lives, that was developed by the Disciples of Christ organization, Unitarian Universalists, working together. And UU, there's another. There were three organizations. Anyway, religious groups. The Methodists have a fairly well-defined, or have had, I've not seen it recently, but curriculum. Presbyterians have a curriculum that they follow or available to individuals within their organization.
And other than Christian groups, what about Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or others? Do you happen to know if any of them have family planning or sexual sex education available?
I have known of Jewish groups that have provided that to their young people. I don't know much about the Islam, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I think the other thing that is available in many areas, and we are able to work with churches if they're interested, is to, you know, talk about some of the issues relative to sexuality in general, and then in effect give the religious aspect of their own religious, you know, denomination to provide that part of the education.
So if a woman comes in who says, I'm Roman Catholic, of course, we know that many Catholics use contraceptions, contraceptive devices and methods. But if someone says, I'm Roman Catholic and I want to follow completely what the church teaches in terms of being open to pregnancy, but I want to limit the number of children I have but still stay within my church's teachings. Is Planned Parenthood able to help in that situation? Can you talk about the Rhythm Method?
Yes, yes.
Or
we can
else?
We can teach natural family planning,
okay.
Fertility awareness.
Okay.
But as far as, you know, what she decides in terms of her church, that's between she and her church.
Of course.
But if fertility awareness is what she's wanting, we do have the capability of teaching that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can also tell them what the odds are.
Yes.
of pregnancy in spite of that.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So much of this, so much of sex education is education that happens in families, maybe in a religious setting, but maybe apart from that. How do you teach, or is Planned Parenthood interested at all in dealing with how people communicate with their kids about these issues?
Yes, we're very, very interested in that. And we actually do have resources available to parents to help with that subject. We understand, and many of us have been there, how difficult it is to, excuse me, to talk about the subject, particularly if you haven't had a very open experience with your own parents. You haven't got that kind of experience to rely on. But there are ways, and very effective ways, to become comfortable with it. And we can help with that. We can also talk with parents and young people together in the office, either separately and then, you know, come back together and see what some of the issues are, if there's some kind of conflict going on. But it's a very important area of conversation, and we think, we know that parents are the best, potentially the best sex educators. Can be the best sex educators. They're certainly the earliest sex educators, far before any other, you know, school or church or anybody lays hands on children, so to speak. The parents are the ones who are giving messages to children. And believe it or not, that education starts at a very, very young age. When, you know, how you treat your children when they ask, when they're taking a bath, you know, what that body part is, how you answer that question tells your children something about how you feel about sexuality and mm-hmm. openness to answering questions.
And what words do you recommend you people use? The medical terms, the slang terms, something in between?
I personally recommend the real words. Hmm. I think that if you don't use the real words, you're in effect saying it's not okay mm-hmm. to have real names for those body parts.
And so you'd say penis and vagina would be
absolutely.
Recommended.
Okay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, having said that, I have to tell you that I have children that have children, and occasionally they have difficulty with those terms, and I say, you know what? Come on. It's time to use the right words.
In terms of ways that you help with parent and child communication, what are some of the things you do?
Well, I think, first of all, helping parents become more comfortable with the issue themselves. Obviously, if you are not comfortable yourself, it's going to be much more difficult to pass that on. We do have books available in our library. We have something called parent kits that can be checked out that have videos and books and pamphlets. The pamphlets you can keep, the rest has to come back. We do have pamphlets available as well on specific ages, what kinds of things kids need to know at different ages. Hmm. And I mentioned to Steve another website that might be of interest called teenwire.com. It's one word, TeenWire.com. It's that site is primarily for teens. It's written by teens for teens, but it's a way to get lots of questions answered. The Planned Parenthood Federation website, which is plannedparenthood.org, also has links to communication kinds of things for parents and children. Hmm. And our PPECI website has links to organizations like CECUS, for example, and Alan Guttmacher and some of the other organizations that are interested in sexuality education.
Uh-huh. In terms of the availability of this information, do you see gaps? Do you see things that you wish you could do if you had the resources? Do you see, certain
Very
types
much.
Of kids that seem to need help that we haven't found a way to get the help mm-hmm. to them, the information to them?
Well, I think probably, a very large percentage of young people could use more education, more information than they currently have access to. of course, supporting education is difficult because it's not something that brings in dollars, if you will, in terms of, you know, like a medical exam. You've got a patient coming in. You've got resources to pay for those services. Education is more difficult because often people don't see it as important to pay for, although we believe it's important to pay for. But, you know, supporting staff to provide the kinds of education to the numbers of people that need it is very difficult, if not mm-hmm. impossible. Mm-hmm. We've had in the past and hope to have in the future some volunteer programs where we can train volunteers to go out and do education with churches or mm-hmm. agency groups or with
families. And so religious groups can ask for that kind of help.
For that kind of help, right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have another caller again on line one. Let's go. You're on Planned Parenthood. You're on the Keeping the Faith talking with Carla Peterson. Go ahead,
Hi.
Please.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. I didn't tune in until late, so I don't know if you've talked about this.
Shame.
But I had read a survey a while back about a survey had been done and that said that parents tend to talk to their teen boys about safe sex and talk to their teen girls more about abstinence. And I didn't know if you could kind of, if you had any comments on that or if you had found that to be true or anything like that. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
I did not see that survey, that article, but I think it would not surprise me if that were the case. I think girls have always been sort of put in the position of being the gatekeepers, if you will, the protectors of anything, you know, really bad happening, and therefore abstinence is kind of the easiest and the most direct and, you know, this is what you should do kind of a message. Whereas, you know, the old adage that boys will be boys, unfortunately, I think is still there. And I think we still do have a double standard in terms of how we talk about sexuality with our boys and our girls. I mean, I talk to parents in this day and age who still talk about the need to, you know, keep their girls protected as much as possible, and yet boys are freer to, you know, go out with their friends and date and so forth and so on. So, I didn't see the study. It wouldn't surprise me. I'd be interested to hear more about that. And if you would like to call me at the office, 359-4768 is that number I couldn't remember a minute ago, and share that with me, I'd be delighted to see it. Thanks.
And again, the clinic phone number is different, 359-8022 in Champaign-Urbana. And this is for the Planned Parenthood Clinic at 302 East Stoughton in Champaign, 3rd and Stoughton. Carla, when we talk about differences between boys and girls, males and females, in terms of sex, so much in the media, you mentioned TV and movies, seems to me just dead wrong. Oh. I mean, just bad information, mm-hmm. bad mm-hmm. psychology, bad physiology. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For example, so many of the movies, when they deal with sex, show the female as the sexual aggressor. Absolutely. Now, is this just is that emphasis just a male fantasy, and the males who are running the movies wish that were the case?
I don't know about that. I think the thing that distresses me about that, whether it's on television or in movies or whatever, is the image that is presented to girls about what it is to be a female. Mm-hmm. And that to be a real female, you have to be sexy, gorgeous, thin, you know, have beautiful teeth,
yeah.
and sexually active, right.
And to go along with passion and not planning.
Exactly.
I mean, how often in movies
do you ever
see reference mm-hmm. to contraception?
Exactly. So I think there's something to be said for that. And it really distresses me when I hear mothers of girls as young as, you know, 7 and 8 mm-hmm. talking about being worried about getting too fat or mm-hmm. something. You know, it's frightening to me.
We have to be sexually alluring even at 7 and 8, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In terms of sex education, of understanding how to break into that is so difficult, I'm sure, for Planned Parenthood as it is for parents.
We do have a sort of a national campaign going on called Real Life, Real Talk, and it has to do with really thinking about the realities of sexuality and not buying into the media messages or the advertising messages to talk about real sexuality issues with children and help them not get caught up in those kinds of really false messages.
You talked earlier in terms of the values and beliefs of Planned Parenthood, talking about sex as being both joyful and responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about that in our last 60 seconds.
Sexuality, we are sexual beings. Sexuality is a part of us that we can't sort of chop off and set aside. And I don't know of anyone who wants any of us to be unhealthy, if you will, sexually. Therefore, it means that we have to accept our sexuality, learn about it, and yet understand it to the extent that allows us to be responsible with it.
Well, we thank you for being our guest today. We've been talking with Carla Peterson, that's Carla with a K, who's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of East Central Illinois. It covers 36 counties and has clinics in 6 of those counties, including Champaign-Urbana. Again, the website for Planned Parenthood locally is ppeci.org. Phone number of the clinic, 359-8022. If you'd like to make a donation, that could be made to Planned Parenthood and mailed to 302 East Stoughton, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Next week on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be Professor Eric Freifogel. He'll be talking about owning nature, an ethical question. He's the author of a recent book, The Land We Share, Private Property, and the Common Good. The week following, we'll be talking with some of the people from the Whirlwind Project about meditation. On February 22nd, Professor Bill Kegel will be talking with us about revelation. Those are some of the programs coming up here on Keeping the Faith in the weeks ahead. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the executive director of the University YMCA on the campus of the University of Illinois, where this week we'll be starting our Tuesday and Friday forums. Those are free at noon. Hope you can attend. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Classic Tan and Swimwear, Champaign, Decatur Quilters, Decatur, and Anderson Foundation. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Ten years after the end of apartheid, what's left to document the struggle? For the filmmakers of the documentary Amandla, there's music. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, the songs that face down death, despair, and terror on the road to equality in South Africa. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy and warmer with a low in the mid-20s and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. The temperature nearly steady or slowly rising after midnight. Tomorrow, light freezing rain and light sleet likely, then rain in the afternoon. Ice accumulation less than a quarter of an inch. The high in the mid-30s with southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, light rain mixed with snow, then light snow after midnight. Snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches. The low in the mid-20s with southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, shifting to the west after midnight. to the Best of Our Knowledge is coming up an hour from now. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.